Hey, everybody. My name's Dane.
And I'm Jimmy.
And our podcast is called Bubbling Questions.
We do would-you-rathers from listeners and a Twitter bot.
Along with one-person game shows using ridiculous stuff we find on the internet.
Like, what kind of dick are we talking?
I shall not tell you.
Okay. All from our very real hot tub.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Very real. Not a gimmick at all. Find Bubbling Questions wherever you get podcasts.
And I'm Jimmy.
Welcome to the Escapist Comics Podcast. I'm Jessica Balboni.
And I'm Jesse Hitt.
It's Saturday, July 13th, 2019.
Halfway through July.
Oh my God, how did that happen?
It's crazy.
It's almost my birthday.
Oh, really?
Well,
when's your birthday?
Like 10 days.
Okay, that's close enough.
9 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. Happy early birthday.
Thanks. I'm fucking old.
I think we're both getting to the age where birthdays don't matter anymore.
No. Like, what do you want to do for your birthday? Do you want to go roller skating? Yeah. This is at the bar. And I was like, no.
I just want to be left alone.
Exactly. I just want to sit with my thoughts.
Yeah.
Drink a bottle of wine.
I'm going to sit on my porch in a rocking chair with a blanket. Get over my lap.
That sounds really nice.
That actually really does.
Have a spa day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Read some comics.
Oh, yeah.
No.
I actually read a decent amount of comics this week.
I did, too. We did good.
It was a first for quite a while.
Yeah. I'm proud of us.
Because there was a ton of stuff this week that was good, too.
Yeah.
Luckily, pretty much everything I read this week I liked.
Yeah, me too.
I only had semi-mixed feelings about one thing.
Yeah, I had one that I didn't really like at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to get rid of those first?
Yeah, let's do the so-so ones.
Okay. The one I didn't like this week was Ghosted in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even like the title, really.
Yeah.
But I thought I'd give it a chance.
It's about dating, right?
Yeah.
Or something.
And ghosts.
Okay.
Yeah. It was, is that a double entendre?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, fancy. I don't get to say that often. This was from Boombox, so like their teen line.
Mm-hmm.
It was by Sina Grace, who I usually really like.
Yeah, me too.
His writing. I miss Little Depressed Boy. I wish that was still coming out.
Yeah.
And then Siobhan Keenan was the artist, and Kathy Lee is the colorist.
Whoa, she's back?
Yeah, Kathy Lee.
Hosting the talk show, and now she's just coloring comics.
Yes,
what a weird career
I know.
Move.
Totally. She probably gets real drunk and then does it.
Yeah. Wonder what Regis is doing, if he's helping out at all.
I thought he's not dead yet.
Yeah, I mean, he might even still be on that show, because wasn't it Regis and Kelly for a while?
No, it's Kelly and then some other person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think Regis does anything anymore.
Aww.
He's probably sitting in a rocking chair.
Yeah,
reading
I hope
comics.
So. He seemed tired all the time.
Yeah.
All that yelling.
Oh, definitely.
He's tiring him out.
Wasn't like Michael...
Michael Strahan?
Strahan.
That's right, yeah, before he got in trouble for yelling at that lady.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Michael and Kelly, but then he left.
Yeah.
And now she's with somebody else.
Okay.
And now I don't think anybody watches that show anymore.
Yeah, who watches TV early in the morning? It's just old people, right?
I mean, I watch the news in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm old, see?
I actually will watch like a Netflix show. Like I watched an episode of Jessica Jones this morning
really?
Before I came to work. Yeah, if I have a free hour or a free half hour, I'll check something out. It's a nice way to wake up. It makes it feel like a Saturday morning a little bit.
Ooh, like Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll even wake up a little bit early. If there's like an episode, sometimes I'll get too. That's what I did today. I was watching Jessica Jones last night. Got too sleepy. Was like, I'll turn it off. I'll finish it in the morning.
Yeah.
And then woke up and woke up a little early and finished the show. It was nice.
I watch terrible TV at night. Like to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Like really bad shows so I can fall asleep. Like I watch Riverdale.
Ooh, nice.
At night.
Stuff you don't have to pay attention
to.
Yeah,
exactly. I watch it with subtitles.
Yeah.
So I can read and then go to sleep.
That. I'll like watch stuff that I've already seen before because I find that soothing. Like for a while I would watch like two episodes of King of the Hill every night.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd just pick one at random.
Mm-hmm. We do that too. Yeah. If anybody's not watching Riverdale right now, I highly recommend going for the third season and binging it on Netflix.
Does it just keep getting crazier?
It's so insane. Like, Archie's in an underground fighting ring.
That's so rad.
Like, why does that happen? Oh, and there's a sex club in Riverdale.
Is it part of the are they in the same building as the Underground Fighting Ring?
No. I feel like the Underground Fighting Ring is actually in prison.
Okay, they're really in a prison in Riverdale.
Yeah, there's a prison in Riverdale, and that's where Archie is because he's been framed for murder by Veronica's father.
Okay, Lodge?
Yeah, by Mr. Lodge. And then, the sex club, this is where Cheryl's mother works, who's also doubles as a dominatrix.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a pretty crazy show.
It sounds like it.
Definitely not for children.
Is Jughead still in there somewhere?
Yeah, he's the hottest character.
Just at the sex club all the time?
He's at the sex...
hamburgers?
Mm-hmm.
What about Mr. Who's the hamburger guy? Mr. Weatherly?
Yeah. He's still running Pops.
Okay.
Right? No. Mr. Weatherly is the principal. I'm sorry. Okay. Then Pops is the guy who runs
That's where he has the sex club in the basement.
Yeah.
It's a, sort of a,
below
yeah, it's
Pops.
A, it's like a Comet Pizza situation. He's got a sex trafficking ring in the basement of his hamburger restaurant.
Also at Pops, these kids drink so many milkshakes.
Like, and everybody stays very thin also.
Very thin. Maybe they only drink milkshakes.
Oh, maybe so,
then
yeah.
They go and work out at the fighting ring.
Okay.
And then go have sex at the dominatrix club.
Okay.
Yeah.
They have like a gym at the underground fighting place too? That's nice.
Yeah.
Can anybody do it or can you just go work out there or do you have to be in the fighting
I don't think
room?
You have to be at the fighting ring. Archie was actually working out in the last episode with his shirt off because 85% of the show he has his shirt off.
Yeah, he's super ripped.
Yeah, he's super ripped. I think it's part of his contract.
Weird.
Must have shirt off. 85% of the show.
What a strange world we live in. We live in a very odd timeline.
Definitely. I highly recommend the third season of Archie if you want to watch one of the weirdest shows on television right now. But Ghosted in L.A.
Yeah.
Back to that.
This is going to be a mini series here. It's like
I'm not sure. Could be. most of the Boombox stuff seems to be.
Yeah, they do like 4 and 6 issue.
Yeah.
Little minis.
I can't imagine this series going very far.
Oh, is it that good?
Yeah, super good. It starts off in Missoula, Montana.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I liked it at first. It's basically about a teenage girl going off to college. Her and her best friend are getting separated. And her her best friend says to her, like, oh, you're just following your boyfriend off to L.A. Like, you hate L.A. Like, why are you going there? Like, live your own life.
Yeah.
So they get in a really, bad fight. And then she goes to L.A. and everything goes awry. Like, her boyfriend dumps her.
Oh, no.
She doesn't get to go to a cool party. Like, everyone ditches her. Mm. And she ends up at this like weird, spooky mansion.
Cool.
Where there's a bunch of ghosts haunting. And for some reason, the ghosts take a liking to her.
Oh.
And she asks if she can like hang out with the ghosts because she hates her roommate and everything sucks there. And they're like, yeah, weird teenage girl, hang out with us here.
Like at the mansion? At the haunted mansion?
Yeah, at the haunted mansion.
Okay.
So she decides she's going to move in with these ghosts instead of her freshman dorm.
All right.
And that's the start of the comic pretty much.
And not that great, huh?
Yeah. Because I'm like, where is this going?
Yeah. Do you think it could be a case of the writer being too far from the source material? Sort of like, is it with Cena Grace, probably an older person, like guy, probably in his 30s, maybe has been married for a while or something. And then he's writing about a college girl going through a tumultuous breakup. And it's like just a subject that the writer can't really relate to that much. Like I noticed that a lot with like older, probably white male writers trying to write younger characters or like people of color. Like the worst example is like when you have like a clearly like a 60-year-old white man writing like a black character and the character's like, what's up, Jab Turkey?
Yeah.
Like, oh no.
Well, you know what? In the beginning, like the fight, like with the best friend, like that seemed very real.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I was like, oh yeah, I've totally had this like fight with one of my friends before. But then, the parts like with the boyfriend and like, it didn't even seem that forced. It just seemed very normal almost. Or like just really, I could just tell exactly what was going to happen next. And I was just like, this is boring.
Yeah.
Like nothing cool happened. Like, and then the part with the ghost, like none of the characters like stood out to me at all.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of bored. I was just like, when you like have to turn the next page and you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
I don't want to read this anymore.
Hope this is over soon.
Yeah. And that's how I felt. And so it was just exhausting reading it. So not great.
Okay.
And I don't really care about the next issue.
All right.
Too bad.
It is kind of refreshing sometimes. It like makes me feel a little bit better, I guess, about myself when a good writer sort of has like a dud of a story.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, nobody's perfect. We all blow it every once in a while.
Yeah. And, you know, the art was good. That was so good job, Siobhan.
Yeah.
maybe that comics just isn't for me.
Yeah. I had it's kind of a similar thing. I read Black Cat number 2, the Marvel book by Jed McKay and Travel Foreman, Brian Reber doing the colors. And I kind of liked the first issue. I couldn't tell whether I liked it or not. And yeah. I was like, I'll give it one more issue to figure out whether I like this story. Because I generally, it's like each issue. What I do like about it is the structure that they're using is like each issue is its own caper.
Okay.
And then a little bit of the larger story is told through a flashback or through little asides. But the main storyline is that is Felicia and her two sidekicks doing a robbery.
Right.
And like Felicia, she's a cool character, very like good burglar. They do less of mentioning how hot she is in this issue.
Oh, that's good.
So it's good. She does have a fun. So in the second issue, in the first issue, they just like robbed an art museum or something. Or no, they snuck in via a fancy, like a ball gown party.
Right.
And then stole a painting.
Yeah.
And in this issue, they are robbing Dr. Strange's house.
Oh.
They hire a homeless magician, basically, to help him rob it. And there's like a, it's fun.
Okay.
And there's a lot that I like about it. But for some reason, when I get to the end of the issue, I'm still not sure whether I like it or not.
Okay.
But I think I'm going to give issue number 3 a try. Although I will say that if I were buying this cover price at a comic book store, I think I would not pick up number 3.
Yeah.
But since I get an employee discount and I can read it on my lunch break,
I'll try it again.
I'm going to keep going because there is a lot to like about it, but I kind of don't give a shit about the side. There's another character that's like an ex-con who's like trying to be an investigator or something that I don't even remember what he did in the first issue.
Yeah.
So I don't really like the secondary. I don't care about the secondary storyline.
Yeah.
But I like the main storyline. There's some fun banter between her two sidekicks, like there's the one guy that's the muscle and one guy that's the brains, and they're like fun. And she's cool. She has some fun. What do they call it when it's the main character narrating it, but in their own head, kind of whatever that. Her narrative voice is fun,
<Yes. laughs>
and she talks about her sort of like history with Spider-Man and stuff. And there's some cool stuff in there. And there's a fun thing where there were these three snakes in Dr. Strange's house that were hitting on her that was kind of funny. And she was like telling them to fuck off. And it's like, there's like a lot of stuff that I do like about the book.
Yeah.
But something about it just doesn't like click. Like it doesn't all come together. You
know? How the hell was she robbing Dr. Strange's house, even with a homeless magician?
Yeah, well, he like helped her get in and helped make sure. Because he's a magician that was created. And I think he's from the current or like a recent Doctor Strange storyline where he was made specifically by these like otherworldly beings to fight Doctor Strange. But then Doctor Strange kind of like tricked him and got the better of him and took away the source of his power. But he's still very much in tune with Doctor Strange's vibration. So he can like sort of shut down the defenses of the Sanctum Sanctorum and stuff like that.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
Yeah. So it's like there's a lot of cool elements, but somehow they just don't all come together. Or they're not yet.
You're right. Okay.
And we get a flashback to when her and the fox, like the main, her like dad's mentor, who's now come back into the picture, like when they first met. And there's like cool stuff, but I don't know.
Sounds like a lot of stuff happened too.
Yeah. And I do
a
like
a little jumbly.
Yeah. And I like the fact that I think it's cool that they're doing it where like each issue is its own little episode where they do a crime, like from the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
And then they do more, they weave the story in.
Yeah.
But, you know, so there's a lot to like there. And I think maybe it's that Jed McKay is a good writer, but maybe this isn't quite the right project for him.
Yeah.
And maybe in the future he'll get the right project and it'll be really good.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a one thumb up, one thumb down, I guess.
Yeah. I have one of those too this week, sticking along the Marvel lines. Giant size Ecstatics for me this week. They're back, first of all. And Peter Milligan, Mike Allred, and Laura Allred.
Sweet.
This is called Hereditary X.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been gone for quite a while. I used to love Ecstatics. It was one of my favorite books, or X-Force when it was coming out, too.
Yeah, and they're like the alternative kind of X-Men team. They're not like the main, they're like the weirdo misfit ones, right?
Yeah, they're the weirdo misfits that also like gained fame in the X-Men
world. Okay.
Yeah, and they like would be on TV and they had like a magazine and like Dupe would always be filming them on camera.
Yeah, I remember Dupe.
Yeah.
They're just a copy of Slimer, basically.
Yeah, basically.
But fun, in a fun way.
And they play that up really well in here, too. And then a bunch of them died, too. Like, they would always die in the book. And it was funny, like, in a sad way.
Yeah. And they're, like, disposable in a more realistic way, in a way that the X-Men are not.
Yeah, they wouldn't come back to life.
Yeah.
They would just die. And I always liked that about them, too. And, yeah, so basically, this is a giant-sized book, so it had extra pages, too.
Cool.
And You Go Girl was, like, one of the big characters in it, and she dies. And
nobody uses that phrase anymore.
No.
She's an outdated character.
She's definitely outdated. So, yeah, when you hear that, it's pretty funny, too. And the basic storyline in this was her sister is, like, mourning her and, like, going back through, like, all of her old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then she finds out that she wasn't really her sister. It was her daughter.
Whoa.
And Dead Girl, who was one of my favorite characters in the book, comes back and brings her to, like, meet her mom, basically, and tell her all this info.
Sweet.
And ultimately, they form a new team eventually because some of the bad guys from, like, the Ecstatic days are coming back.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And is this a one-shot, or is this going to be an ongoing?
Well, this is a one. I thought it was just going to be a one-shot, and it feels like that all the way through the story until you get to the very end where it says, the excellent number one all-new series, all-new team by Peter Milligan and Mike Allred coming next year.
Okay, well.
So, yeah, and, like, I don't think they really need a new
series
is the only thing. Like, I've actually felt like this is a really cool, complete issue.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that was their time back then, like in the, you know, I guess late 90s, like early 2000s. That's when they were coming out.
When people were still saying, you go, girl.
Exactly.
She's fighting her arch nemesis, don't go there, man.
That might have actually been someone. yeah. Well, and, like, okay, that, for example, one of the characters in here is named Fatty.
Oh, that's hurtful.
Yes.
Body shame based.
It was body shame. And it totally is, too.
I guess the Blob was kind of like that.
And that's so the girl, and she's, they say, this young woman, Fatty, is always a feminist issue.
Okay.
How can something so grossly misshapen look so feminine?
Weird.
And I was like, ooh, like it felt icky, kind of like reading it.
Yeah.
And I was like, how is this going to pass over? And they're like, you won't be so surprised to know she's a rising star on the plus-size catwalk.
Okay. Is there a plus-size catwalk?
There is a plus-size catwalk.
Okay, sweet.
But, like, I don't know. It just felt, like, a little weird when I was reading it.
Like, could you... It was, like, those things where you can't tell whether they're being tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
Or whether they're trying to be, like, supportive about it or whether they're making fun of it.
Exactly.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know. Like, I appreciate that they're, like, trying to use, like, something maybe positive towards it and, like, trying to twist the, like, fat shaming or whatever on its nose. But, like, I don't know. It just felt weird to me. Ugh. And well, anyway, she's going to be a new character in excellent number one.
All right.
Yeah. Cool, guys. Except she's not on the cover. Yeah. All right.
So, they'll be next year by the time they've concluded that one of the other 40 X-Men titles is coming out.
Exactly.
Are there still X-Men Black ones coming out? Or
no, those are done.
Okay.
Yeah, Hickman's going to replace all those with his
Okay.
Yeah, he has those two big books coming out very soon.
Oh, good.
I also like these awesome Axe body spray ads on the back.
Yeah.
Called The Freshman. Save the world. Stop the stink. Axe's freshest fragrance yet. It's called Ice Chill.
Yeah.
Mm. Whoever got to draw these.
Yeah, the kids actually it looks pretty real. Like, that could be an actual Marvel character. The Freshman.
The Freshman?
Yeah.
Like the movie The Freshman?
It is nice that they're encouraging teen boys to not stink. That's cool.
Except when you encourage them to spray body spray all over their bodies.
That's true.
Ugh.
I might prefer, like, some slight BO to overwhelming Axe.
I definitely would.
Yeah.
I fucking hate Axe body spray. Ugh. Also, The Freshman. It's like the Matthew Broderick, like, remember the Matthew Broderick movie with Marlon Brando? No?
No.
And it has the giant Komodo dragon that they're going to eat.
What? No. Is this a dream that you had?
No, it's a real movie.
Matthew McConaughey?
Matthew Broderick, yeah.
Oh, I was thinking Matthew McConaughey when you said Matthew Broderick. No. So, sounded even crazier.
Yeah, they're going to eat like exotic animals.
Whoa.
It's a good movie. Okay. Check it out. This is my recommendation for the week.
There's that one song about being freshman by...
Oh, that's a really sad song about killing yourself.
Suicide. Yeah, baby.
From, was that like 99?
Yeah, this kid smelled too bad. Killed himself with his own BO. Oh. Well, I guess we should move on. What about some stuff that we both like?
Yeah. We have two books that we both really liked this week.
You want to do Second Coming first?
Yeah.
Since it was super controversial and almost didn't get published.
Yeah. So Second Coming was by Mark Russell and Richard Pace.
Yep.
And this book originally was supposed to come out through Vertigo about 7 months ago, I want to say. It might have even been a year, actually.
Wow, it was that long ago.
It was a long time ago. And we ordered a crap ton of it, and we never got it. And then we got an announcement that Vertigo dropped it due to Christian heretics.
Yeah, that's wild, man. Vertigo, the same imprint that put out Hellblazer, right?
Preacher.
And fucking Preacher. Yeah. It's like they've never backed down. That was kind of their whole thing.
They've never backed down.
Was that they would put out that kind of shit that was like subversive and controversial.
Then AT&T bought them.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what happened after that, but... Yeah. Yeah, a lot of Christians were like, you can't do this. And now Trump's our president. And I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but it certainly
Mike Pence
feels like
and
it.
All those religious weirdos, that Acosta guy, the Secretary of Labor that just had to step down.
Yeah.
Family looks like children of the corn. You can just look at those people and know that something is wrong.
Definitely.
Like, they look like movie villains. Like Mike Pence looks like the evil mayor that runs the town and is super puritanical, but then secretly has like human sacrifices in his basement. Like,
oh, yeah.
They're frightening.
They are very scary looking. So I expected this comic to be like a lot more blasphemous, I guess I should say.
Me too. I was kind of worried that they were going to do that and it was going to be a little like Garth Ennis-y where it's over the top and where it's like, Jesus got his dick cut off or something. Like,
right.
All right, man, that's crazy, I guess.
Yeah. But it's actually very respectable.
Yeah. And the whole premise is that God is disappointed that Jesus just got crucified and went out like that his first time around. And so he sends Jesus back to Earth sort of in the modern day to be sort of the apprentice to the Superman-like guy because he wants his son to learn how to like stand up for himself and like be badass in the same way that this guy is.
Yeah. It's funny you use the disappointed in you phrase because he actually wrote God is disappointed in you.
Oh yeah.
With Shannon Wheeler.
Totally.
And he actually rewrote the whole Bible.
Yeah.
So for anyone to do a story like this, Mark Russell is perfect.
Yeah.
Because he studied the shit out of the Bible.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, so he knows what he's talking about.
He definitely knows what he's talking about.
He did throw in, like, the whole first act was, like, a lot of, had biblical references that I'm guessing were probably pretty accurate.
Yeah, they're very accurate, actually. And hilarious.
Yeah.
This book actually made me laugh out loud. Like, seriously. Like, not just using that phrase. When Maggie was reading it earlier today, too, and she was laughing out loud.
I thought it was very funny, too.
Really funny.
I'm a pretty harsh judge of humor because I'm out doing comedy every night, so I'm surrounded by it constantly.
Yeah,
so.
You definitely are a harsh judge.
Absolutely. And Mark Russell does a very good job.
Yeah. One of my favorite parts is when Adam and Eve are eating penis and vagina-shaped fruits. They're forbidden. They're actually forbidden fruits. And God casts them out. And one of his things is that not only does he cast them out of the Garden of Eden, but as extra punishment, he orders them to actually become parents as well.
Yeah. Extra punishment.
Extra punishment.
There's a nice, Mark, he always does a really good job of like putting in a little bit of social commentary too. Like he did that with that Snagglepuss book he did.
Yes.
He does it with everything. And like
Prez.
There was the section about Jesus' childhood best friend who like becomes a carpenter also. And the Romans are busy crucifying so many people that he basically becomes like a cross maker because like that's where the demand is.
Yeah.
And his community starts to dislike him and then he ends up making the cross that his best friend gets nailed to.
Sad.
It really was. Yeah.
This had so many elements. It's funny. It's heartfelt. The art is really great too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was very, very happy with this book.
Me too. I'm psyched to see the next. Do we know how long it's going to be?
It is a miniseries.
Okay.
I'm going to guess it's 6 issues, yeah. But I'm not entirely sure. I hope it actually comes out on time. It's Ahoy, so, you know, they're definitely a smaller publisher, but good on them for going through that and publishing it.
Yeah, totally.
I also highly recommend reading the back matter in this as well, because Mark Russell tells us about, like, the journey he had to go through is like to get this actually published.
Yeah.
And then Ahoy also talks a little bit about it in the back as well.
Yeah, it's so good, man.
Oh, and it's a very nice printed book as well.
Yeah. There's like a fun scene where the Superman guy like beats up all these criminals and throws them through like the window of this warehouse, and he comes outside and they're all gone. And Jesus, he told Jesus to wait outside while he goes in and beats up everybody.
Yeah.
And he comes outside and everybody's gone. He's like, "Where'd they go?" And Jesus is like, "I healed them."
Yeah.
Like, "Well, why'd you do that?" And he's like, "Well, because they were hurt." Pretty great.
Yeah. So there's different like moral implications that they're going to have to deal with together. So it's going to be like a buddy cop.
Yeah. And like a really well written version of Jesus, too. Super likable.
Yeah.
Like, really great.
He's the buddy Christ.
Yeah.
And like Jesus probably would be, right?
Yeah, he'd be nice. Guy probably.
He's a nice guy.
What's this whole thing?
Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of crazy, but hey.
Yeah.
Who isn't?
Okay. And then the next one we both read.
Unearth real quick.
Yeah. So Cullen Bunn has a new book called Unearth. Of course, it's a really cool horror sci-fi book. The art is by Kyle Strom, who I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah, Baltimore Rivas.
I'm sorry. Kyle Strom wrote the book with Cullen Bunn.
Yeah.
Is he the one who did, no, I don't know.
Yeah, that name doesn't ring a bell.
I feel like he did something recently with Image as well. Letters by Crank.
Yeah.
I liked that.
My favorite letterer, Crank.
Crank!
Jason Statham.
Exclamation point. This book was great, though, too. This is my second favorite book of the week
really cool.
as well.
It takes place in, like, the present-ish or the not-so-distant future, and there are these weird holes opening up along the U.S.-Mexico border and sort of weird monsters and a weird virus coming out of them, and nobody really knows what's going on. And they send a doctor down there, and the doctor gets the virus, and the virus makes you turn into this big, like an overfed tick, like a giant, bloated, weird, gross-looking sack of skin thing.
Yeah.
And then they send another doctor, but this time with like a team of like
military,
special forces, slash explorer type guys.
Right.
And a lady, I guess.
Yeah.
And a robot that's driven by a guy.
Yeah.
And then they get accidentally stuck in the cave, and there's a monster in there.
Yep.
And there's some smugglers in the cave, because the stuff in the cave is also, like, in addition to having weird, gross monster stuff, there's also stuff that's, like, technologically valuable.
Right.
And, like, valuable energy-wise. Maybe? We don't quite know yet.
Yeah, we don't know. It's just the first issue. But there is a lot packed into that first issue.
Yeah, he really does a good job of, like, painting a picture, like, establishing the setting and showing you the world where all this is taking place.
Yeah. And it's definitely... it's definitely like alien-ish meets the Descent. They're definitely going to get trapped in this cave.
Maybe they're from space. Maybe they're from deep in the center of the Earth.
Yeah.
Maybe they're monsters that have been created by weird like radiation and environmental poisoning.
Ooh,
or
like
something.
Godzilla.
Yeah. Because they do glow. They glow in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's very strongly implied by the color. They have a really cool color palette in this also.
Yeah, and the artist does everything in this book, too.
They do a really good job of making things look shiny and making things look like they're glowing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I love there's like a weird bug in it.
Yeah,
that they're
the
like investigating. And it just like can see like the glow coming off and like hitting her helmet while she's like looking at it. And it's, really, really cool.
And there's the fun. It has like the team of explorers and doctor has like sort of like a lot of the classic sci-fi ensemble. It reminded me of like the Space Marines from Alien. You know, it's like one super gung-ho guy, one kind of like swarthy but like clever dude, like a science guy.
Yeah.
A super tough lady who's probably tougher, as tough as the gung-ho guy but smarter.
Yeah.
Like, like a fun little explorer ensemble.
Yeah, exactly. I'll definitely be checking out the next issue.
Yeah.
Good job, Colin Bunn and Kyle Strom. I'm sorry I messed up that you also wrote this. you did Reaver as well.
Speaking of ensembles, Justin Jordan has a new book out drawn by Rebecca Isaacs called Reaver. That's like, I would sort of describe it as Magnificent Seven meets Game of Thrones. It like takes place in a medieval fantasy sort of magic based world where it's not super magic. There's like a little bit of magic and everybody thinks it's like gross. And it is a specific cool type of magic that Justin Jordan likes to use this theme sort of a lot, where it's like you can get superpowers, but you're ultimately going to have to give up more than you gain. And so it's in a world where this like blood magic exists that requires requires you to basically sacrifice more than you will get from using it. So you have to figure out a way to make other people make the sacrifice for you. And so these two nations have been at war for as long as anybody can remember. And one of the nations is using the magic to sort of see far enough into the future that they're winning all these battles that they probably shouldn't be winning. And so the nation that's losing sends a team of convicts to go find out what's going on. And it's like one of the convicts is like this guy who was like a good soldier, but like sort of lost it in the middle of a battle and like ran away and was jailed for cowardice. Mm-hmm. And one of them's this giant berserker guy who similarly lost it in the middle of a battle, but just started killing everyone around him and killed like a bunch of his own soldier guys.
Oh, shit.
And then hasn't spoken a word since then. And it takes this weird, like creepy wizard guy goes and whispers in his ear to get him to come on the journey. So we don't know what his motivation is, and it's established that it's like it's a suicide mission for everybody. So like,
oh, shit.
You're gonna die, but you have a chance to like die well and like get your honor back. Basically, one of the characters is this little girl who's like she was being used as a guy. She's like a wildling kind of,
okay.
And she has sharp teeth, and she bit a guy's dick off,
and then
went to jail for that. Yeah, and the other is like this sort of nobleman who's like very like erudite and like kind of a know-it-all, but it's implied also that he's a child molester it's got some real dark.
Damn.
Yeah. Well, Justin Jordan likes to do that. Like he'll throw in some like real like edgy shit, and it's awesome. I love like ensemble adventures.
Yeah,
and he does a really good job of introducing each of the team members and then introducing their mission. And like the mission is almost like sort of part, it's like kind of in the background because it's all about these characters and like learning about each of their backstories throughout the course of the story, I think.
Okay.
So it's going to be tight. Yeah.
Nice.
Reaver number one, for sure. Pick it up. It's got a Becky Cloonan cover.
Yeah. I love the Becky Cloonan cover.
Yeah,
it's awesome. Cool. We got to jump right into the news.
Yeah.
Because we have no time.
All right.
So the biggest news this week, I think, was Paper Girls gets picked up by Amazon. I think it's got a showrunner, too, and it's moving very fast.
Yeah.
All of this is moving very fast. Man. I'm not so sure, though.
That's
going
to be a tough one to adopt because it's such a long story.
Yeah.
And it's not like you could pick out one particular arc and make a movie or a series of that. Like, it all... Yeah. Is interconnected.
Yes.
And I hope they can pull it off. But.
Yeah, and a lot of special effects. Like, even just the first part. I mean, like, the sky opens
up. Pterodactyls and
giant monsters come through the sky. And then giant robots.
That's right,
and then, like, the makeup for the mutant boys. Yeah. Like, there are so much you have to do on that. And they, like, if you just, like, mess it up a little bit, the whole show's fucked.
Yeah, it can very easily look super cheesy.
So cheesy. And, like, I know BKV was, like, really worried about that with Saga.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be really worried about that with Paper Girls, too.
Yeah.
And, like, even the people from the future could look really shitty.
Yeah, if you do the makeup, man.
And, like, I talked about that with, I can't say who, but, one of our customers who's in Hollywood.
Oh, who does SFX type of stuff.
No.
Oh, really?
Who's a director.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking
of somebody else. And he wanted to adapt it. And that's what he was worried about, too.
Yeah, yeah,
he was very like, I don't know if we can do this because of XYZ and special effects.
Yeah.
So maybe it is, though. I don't know. I haven't looked it up.
Yeah,
maybe he did it.
Big budget for this.
We haven't seen him in a while.
That's true. Interesting.
I'll have to look that up.
Did he buy a bunch of copies of Paper Girl last time he came in?
He always was buying Paper Girls.
Yeah, ooh. Yeah.
Maybe we'll have news for you,
soon. Some insider info.
Yeah. Okay, so, well... We'll give you more news as that comes.
Yeah.
Lucasfilms has unveiled a new Sith Trooper design that will make its film debut in December's Rise of Skywalker.
Looks pretty cool.
It's very cool.
It's like a red Stormtrooper.
It's a red Stormtrooper.
With the kind of the pilot style helmet with the roundy round tube parts in the mouth.
It's roundy round.
Yeah.
We're going to have a lot of new cosplayers wearing that red.
I wonder if that means that they're bringing the Sith into the main universe and making them officially a part of the Empire now, if the Sith have their own troopers,
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, Darth Vader were they called the Imperial Guard?
Imperial Guard.
The guy with the red robes? Those guys are fucking cool.
Yeah, those guys are
Did
really
they ever
cool.
do anything in the movies?
No. They just, like, walked around.
Yeah, they had some cool fight scenes in the comic books, and they use these rad, like, lightsaber staff things, kind of.
I mean, like, they shot at people.
Okay.
Like, when they were protecting the Emperor, but I think that's That's all they did. Huh. And it was, like, one scene, I think. I could be wrong. Don't get mad at me, Star Wars people.
Well, Star Wars fans are pretty chill. But
I mean, totally chill, right? I've only watched this movie like 9 million times, too. Like, I should definitely know. We saw an all-access upcoming Star Trek. Oh, wait. No, I'm reading this totally wrong. Sorry. There's a Star Trek spinoff Picard show, which we've totally talked about.
Yeah, Michael Chabon's the showrunner now.
Hell yeah. And then, so there's a new poster out where Jean-Luc Picard is apparently in retirement. It's going to be a real exciting show, guys.
Okay, so it's a sequel where he's it's him. the poster is him like in a vineyard with like his pet pit bull next to him.
Yeah, yeah.
Although they say they officially,
they said on the site that we were looking at, anyways, it was a lovable French bulldog.
Yeah,
it is not a French bulldog, guys. Yeah, we are dog experts.
Got the crop to the pointy ears.
Yeah, yeah, and he's like way bigger.
Yeah. Very wide.
We think it's a Staffordshire Terrier here at the Escapist Comics podcast.
Yeah. And they have, it's blue. I mean, I guess they do have blue Frenchies, but only fairly recently, I feel like. But I guess this is in the future, so they could have all kinds of different dogs.
They could.
That we don't even know about yet.
But they don't crop their ears like that.
True.
And they're not shaped like that.
Yeah. We'll have to know. We'll know once we see its face.
Guess what, Newsarama? Where I pulled this story from.
I can see why they might think it's a French bulldog, because it looks like it takes place in France.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
He's standing at like a vineyard, so. I guess they have vineyards everywhere.
They have vineyards, like, maybe he's in Napa.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I mean, Michael Chabon lives here.
I always loved those episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation when Picard went back to France and like... Yeah. You sort of start to think of him as a British guy, despite the fact that his name is Jean-Luc Picard. And then he goes, they're like, they do an episode where he's in France. He's just like wearing a beret. And he's got a mustache now. And he's always carrying a baguette and riding around on his little bicycle. It's like, oh, yeah, he's French as hell.
Totally French.
The Frenchest man of all time.
But he drinks Earl Grey tea.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I guess they don't have, well, they have synthol on the spaceship.
Oh, that's true. They he does have, love Earl Grey tea.
Yeah.
It's not real Earl Grey tea.
Yeah, that's true. It's replicated.
You know they're making replicators now?
Really?
That's what I heard.
I knew they could 3D print food.
Yeah.
I bet it tastes gross, though.
Ugh. Yeah, it just tastes like mash or...
Yeah.
Like, what is that thing that like, people are mixing into their food now?
I don't know. It's Soylent? Just like,
yeah, basically.
Yeah. Where it doesn't really taste like anything.
Soylent is people.
Gross.
Sorry. Okay.
Just eat food, everyone.
Just eat food. Why is it so hard to eat? me, who like drinks a protein shake every day because I don't want to eat food.
Yeah.
Too hard. Chew. All right. Walking Dead has a new series coming out after the comic ended.
Has the regular show officially ended? The AMC main The Walking Dead. Is that done now? Or did they just announce that it was?
I think they announced that it's over.
Yeah, because I know they killed Rick. I just saw that on the news. I stopped watching the show
a while
ago.
There's one more season.
Okay.
You know what? I don't really know. But they're making a new show.
Okay. Well...
So this one is going to reportedly focus on two female protagonists and focus on the first generation to come of age in the zombie apocalypse.
Okay, so they were like kids when the first outbreak happened.
Yeah.
And like, it follows them growing up.
Like
on
Carl.
The yeah, totally. Yeah, like Carl and Sophia and the rest of the gang.
That's already
the evil
happened.
Kid that they had to kill that one time.
Right.
Morgan's son that kind of disappeared after a while.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I feel like we already watched that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so. Carl was like one of the main characters. We got to see literally the actor come of age. Like they took like in between seasons, he grew 8 inches and immediately became like an awkward monster, like as young boys do.
That's what happens. Yeah. And then they're going to kill these kids because they're going to grow too fast.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm stupid. Like, I don't think we need any more Walking Dead shows. And the only show we did need is to see how the fucking outbreak started. Like,
come on, guys.
Like, if that's what you're going to do, do that.
Yeah. I think we could take a break from zombies for a couple years.
Yeah, definitely.
Or do a sequel that's, like, far in the future when things have still calmed down, but the zombie threat is still kind of out there, but people are, like, reestablishing society. Mm-hmm. So it's almost kind of like a frontier Western type of show.
Yeah, that'd be
but
cool.
But in a zombie world. Like, that's what issue 193 of Walking Dead is. I guess we can talk about it.
We can talk about it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Although a guy came in yesterday and was looking for 192 and 193, I was trying to figure out where he left off.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, did you get to the part where Rick died? And he was like, don't spoil it. Dog, that was 3 months ago, man.
come on, man.
We have to establish. I think we should. There should be, like, maybe they could announce that at, like, a Comic-Con or something where it's like, here are the universally agreed upon spoiler rules. You have 60 days.
60 days, that's it.
And if you don't see it, we talk about it openly, and you can't get mad, and you can't say it. You have to just listen or plug your ears.
Yeah. Just, like, hum a song.
Yeah. We'll figure out a time frame for spoilers.
Ugh, get over it. Well, yeah, so we're not super excited about this new Walking Dead show.
Yeah.
But I guess... cool guys.
Yeah, I was hoping they'd be like in like Walking Dead 193. They skip to like 10 or 15 years in the future, and Carl's an adult.
Yeah. Still wearing the hat.
Yeah, the zombies are still out there, but they're no longer like an imminent threat. Like we figured out how to deal with them
because they're all dying off. Too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. They do decay, but at a very slow rate. But
Lastly, the upcoming HBO Max is coming out. I guess it's like a TV story. It's kind of like Hulu.
Yeah, or
right?
Amazon.
Or the new
Disney one.
Ugh, man. Okay, so basically because AT&T owns it. AT&T is a giant cable company,
right?
Yeah,
they have Time Warner
They have Time Warner, yeah, because they own DC. Mm-hmm. So HBO won't be changing like its regular streaming service. It'll just be adding more, including some of the DC shows.
Okay. Well, maybe that means Swamp Thing will live on.
I hope
so.
Doom Patrol is going to live on. That's one of the shows that's going to be on there, including also Batwoman, all the Wonder Woman and Justice League films, Shazam, Teen Titans Go. The DC logo is also going to be prominently featured.
Okay, that's fine, I guess.
They
have a cool looking logo.
I won't have to like just have HBO separately. I don't know, but I have like Sling already. I have so many streaming services.
I know. That sucks. Like we were, going to streaming was supposed to get us away from cable, but it's really just like recreated a more expensive, more complex version of cable now.
Yeah.
And, like, cable was supposed to be a better, like, commercial-free version of broadcast TV, but then it just became a more expensive version with... It's, like, it's getting worse.
Yeah, it is getting worse. I think I pay just as much now
future,
I would for cable.
Yeah, and if everybody goes to... Everybody just, like, abandons cable and makes their own streaming service, then you have to pay for, like, sports streaming, and it's going to end up being more expensive than cable was in the first place.
Of course it is, yeah.
And at first, it's not going to have commercials, but then they're going to do what Hulu does, where they start sneaking in commercials. And, like, if you want to go back to no commercials, it's an extra $2 a month.
Yeah.
And then 2 years later, they're like, it's going to be an extra $10.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You're like, no, I just hate commercials.
Yeah, I just don't want to watch commercials.
Yeah, but that's how they sell things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although, recently, I was watching like some episodes of Chopped or like Chopped Junior or something, and they kept showing me commercials just for boating, and for like the act of boating. Yeah,
boating.
It was weird. Like over and over, and it would be the same commercial where like, hey, go boating. Boating's fun. Get on your boat. Make sure you're safe on your boat, though. Like, who the fuck do you think I am? Like, who do you think is watching this?
What does that have to do with food?
Yeah, and it was my account, too. So it wasn't like they were pulling from...
Bizarre.
I wasn't... I did watch a YouTube documentary about this guy that was like an offshore boat racer.
Well, there you go.
Who was then later murdered by a drug dealer because he was also making the fast boats that the drug dealers use. Uh-huh. And then he started making the fast boats for the DEA, and the drug dealers got mad at him. And they were like, why are you making government boats so you can catch our boats? And they just fucking murdered him.
Were they also showing you commercials about murder?
No,
okay.
No commercials, no pro murder,
or drugs.
Prescription drugs.
Yeah, I get a lot of prescription drug commercials
definitely.
Too. They definitely wine and drugs. They think I'm very depressed.
Just based on the amount of streaming television you're watching.
True.
We could tell you like to drink booze and eat pills.
Yeah, that's true.
You just watched 9 episodes of Riverdale in a row, so
they know me so
can't be
well.
Going that well.
On that note, I've been Jessica Belva.
And Jesse.
We'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.